You're tuned into We Talk Radio Network.
To the best of inspirational music and conversation radio, Brand New Day with Emily Blue, right here on We Talk Radio. I'm your host, Emily Blue, here with co-host Deanne Wax. Thank you for joining us, and happy Mother's Day to each and every mother, grandmother, and mother figure. We are so excited to bring you this amazing, special Mother's Day edition of Brand New Day with Emily Blue. Whether it's the beginning or end of your day personally, we want you to sit back and relax and enjoy as we inspire and uplift your lives. Here's the late, great Bill Weathers with Grandma's Hands, right here on the best of inspirational music and conversation radio, Brand New Day with Emily Blue, right here on We Talk Radio.
In church on Sunday morning, Grandma's hand played a tambourine so well. Grandma's hand used to issue out a warning. She'd say, Billy, don't you run so fast, might fall on a piece of glass, might be snakes there in that grass. Grandma's hand. Local unwed mother, Grandma's hand used to ache sometimes and swell. Grandma's hand used to lift her face and tell her, she'd say, baby, Grandma, understand that you really love that man. Put yourself in Jesus' hands, Grandma's hand. Hand me a piece of candy, Grandma's hand pick me up each time I fell. Grandma's hand, boy, they really came in a handy. She'd say, Matty, don't you whip that boy, what you wanna spank him for? He didn't drop no apple core, but I don't have Grandma anymore. If I get to heaven, I'll look for Grandma.
Everybody, Isabel Davis here, and you are listening to Brand New Day with Emily Blue.
It's like you're looking through a telescope. You see where you're gonna be. Growing, getting better. You're not the person they see. Can't be mad at the things you've been through, cause they built your muscle. Now you're stronger than you've ever been. They can't stop your heart.
Was Mary Mary with Go Get It, and you're tuned into the best of inspirational music and conversation radio, Brand New Day with Emily Blue, right here on We Talk Radio. We're so excited that you're listening on today. We've interviewed some incredible ladies for this special Mother's Day broadcast. Our theme for Mother's Day is In Her Shoes. Just like mothers wear many hats, they also wear many shoes. Deanne and I hope that you are having a beautiful Mother's Day today. Our first interview is with President and Founder of Heartfelt International Ministries, former school teacher and transformational coach, Dr. Kathy Moffitt. You're listening to the best of inspirational music and conversation radio, Brand New Day with Emily Blue, right here on We Talk Radio. We are so excited because we are celebrating the most beautiful gift that anyone can receive, and that is mothers. So whether it's your mother, your grandmother, or a mother figure, make sure that you're celebrating them while they are here. We have an amazing guest on today. She is just the sweetest person in the world. Dr. Kathy Moffitt, thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Well, my dear Emily and Deanne, thank you both ladies for what you're doing through this platform to reach the audiences that you are targeting. And it's such a humbling experience that I would be asked to talk about what it's like to be a mom. And I'm excited about it. And I certainly would like to honor your beloved mother, Emily, and all the work that you continue to do to celebrate her life and her legacy. I think that's one of the best ways to exemplify and to have an expression of your love for your mother in the manner which you and your brother do it.
Thank you so much. So let's go ahead and just dive right in. So my first question to you is, what is the role of a mother?
You know, that's a loaded question, as you know, because there are various types of mothers. There are blended family mothers. There are single parent mothers. There are biological mothers. There are spiritual mothers. And then there are mothers who didn't have a womb to bear children, but have many children. They have godmothers as well. So the role of a mother actually plays into the situation in which she finds herself in. And for me, I've had a couple of roles. I've been both a single mother, actually a married mother, then a single mother, and now a blended mother, which I have been in a blended family for 29 years, where I've had to share my children, and I've had to share my husband's children. And so that, to me, is to be able to identify where you are, and then that will dictate how your role should be. But in a nutshell for me, I give everybody unmerited attention, even those that are not my children, just like you. I treat my mentees just like they're my own. And so whatever role I feel like God places you in, it's really good to know who you are and then know who He is, so that you, those that He entrusts in your care, you can treat them like His mother did. She always showed up. I think that's the greatest role in any of those capacities that we can do. And the role that we're in is to simply show up. And when we show up, then the whole environment changes. Children love to see their godmothers or whatever capacity you're functioning in at their games, at the plays, at the cheerleading matches, at the weddings, whatever it is. I just think it's key that we show up.
That's great. That's great. My next question is, in one word, describe your mother.
Feisty. Feisty. My mother is feisty. She just turned 83, April the 22nd. And she still has her swag. She still has that mouth. She still tries to be my boss. And she's just a wonderful grandmother and great grandmother. My mother is fortunate enough to have great grandchildren, because my grandson is 13, going to the ninth grade. So he's really fortunate to have his grandmother and his great grandmother. So I think my mother's just feisty. That would be the word to describe her. She can go any direction. She can hang with you. She's still driving. She has her own place. We sold her home. So she's enjoying her life. My father is in a dementia facility. They've been married for 65 years. So I think her zeal for life and her willingness to stay feisty with her little swag is the key to her longevity.
Anne?
All right. Well, hi, I'm Deanne.
Deanne.
Hi. And so what is the one thing that you remember seeing your mother do that stood out?
As a 10-year-old, my mother came to me and said, "Kathy, I want you to help me with your siblings. I'm the oldest of four." She said, "I'm going to go back to school." And what was I going to say at 10? And I tell everyone, I said, I have a beautiful collection of Barbie dolls. I'm talking like as a collector. Some beautiful dolls, because at age 10, I had to stop playing with dolls and have to take care of my siblings while my mother worked. My dad worked, but my father wasn't a big supporter initially of her going to school. Of course, later on, I found out why, because most men can be intimidated when their wives go back for higher education. And I didn't even know at the time that my father was illiterate. So that even compounded the issue. But she told me later on that when I was old enough to understand the dynamics of what was going on, that daddy thought that if she got a degree, she would leave him. And of course she did not. But he did think that at the time. And that was the most encouraging thing that I think I experienced. It did have some drawbacks in terms of my childhood, but certainly as a single parent, I really can embrace that process because to a certain degree, even though she was married, she was still work. My mother worked full time, went to school. It took her 9 years to get an associate's degree, but she got it. And then she became a nurse. Then she went back and got her BS. She went back and got her MS. And I think because she set that stage for me, it may be one of the reasons why I have 4 degrees. I have an undergraduate degree in education, a master's in education, a master's in business, and I have a doctorate in ministry. So I've always remembered the impact and how her getting her degrees, it changed the trajectory of our lives financially. Because mama was able to get a good job and able to bring in more income. And my mother actually graduated from college, the same one I did a year before I did. And she went back and got her master's before I got my master's, my first one. So my mother has always raised the bar academically for us by her example.
And that's actually what I was going to ask you next. What was the hardest thing that you saw your mother accomplish that inspired you?
I would say it wasn't that. I think the hardest thing I saw my mother accomplish was living through the death of her father. My grandfather died 3 years later from, he had throat cancer. And my mother was very close to my granddaddy. And my mother lost her mother a couple of weeks after my mother turned 18. So she never had her mother there for her children, her own children, her biological children. But she was really close to my papa. And I can remember that vividly today. And I'm 64 years old. I was 13. So death, my mother could handle the death of patients. She just could not handle the death of my father. And then 12 years ago, my only sister and my baby sister was killed in a car accident. And my mother is still recovering from that. So between those two things, as a nurse, it's interesting how you respond to death when it's that intimate with you versus being a caretaker in a hospital setting. So I would say the death of her father and the death of her daughter.
So what have you tried to implement in your parenting because of your mother?
I'm a better listener and I discipline differently. I was the oldest, so they set an example with me and I'll leave it like that. And what I walked away with was when I have my children will have a voice. They will have a say. And my children, both of them, are emulating that to this day. Their children have a voice and they have a say. And I would let my kids choose their punishment. So they were either grounded or they would get a whooping. And I would say, well, what do you think that this situation warrants? Do you think it warrants you being grounded or does it warrant you getting a whooping? And so if they said grounding, then I'd give them a whooping. If they're whooping, I ground them. And so they soon figured it out. They said, well, Mama, whatever you think. That's what they would say at the end. But I really believe that the method that I used with Jonathan and Bethany, it really helped us because my kids knew the consequences of lying. They didn't have to lie to me. I said, if you tell me the truth, that's all I want. But if I find out that you're not telling me the truth, there are consequences. And I believe by me listening to them, letting them have a voice without feeling like I had to have a heavy hand was key. And that was totally different from the way I was raised. And they both are just done exceptionally well as adults. My son will be 42 next Thursday, and my daughter will turn 40 on July 9th.
Awesome. So clearly, your mom's example, both by her, what you saw and what you observed, and what she taught you, has led you to be the woman of God that you are. So my last question is, how do you want to honor your mother?
Well, Sunday, I am having a brunch. And today I went, and I, as a hobby, I do cut floral arrangements. So I have 6 vases of flowers in my main living area downstairs. And all she has to do is show up, and I'm surprising her with my children. They're going to be here. My daughter-in-law's family is going to be here, and a childhood friend and her fiance are going to be here. So we're going to have a small gathering to not only celebrate her as a mother, but all the mothers that will be in our home. And I think by bringing us all together and having a time to do just what you all are doing, we're going to do that. We're going to have a little quick testimonial service so that mothers are highlighted during this brunch. And my husband and I and my daughter are hosting it. So all they have to do is show up, and we're going to eat and have mimosas, and we're going to celebrate the gift of life. And then tomorrow morning, I have a group of women that I'm working with that I decided at 9:30, I'm going to celebrate them via Zoom. And so I love everything about being a mother. I love everything about being a grandmother. I went today and bought my youngest grandbaby. He'll be 2 in June. And I bought him a big old box of Cheez Knits because he liked them. So he got 45 packages of snacks. I don't know if my son and daughter-in-law are like that, but I took a picture and told her, don't let me forget to give you these snacks for my grandbaby. And so I love being a grandmother, and I'm going to have I'm going to have 3 of my 10 grandchildren here on Sunday. And, isn't that good? And then my daughter is a breast cancer survivor. She had breast cancer in the pandemic. So, you know, I'm tickled pink to that she's getting to see another Mother's Day because she had a pretty rough ride. So I have so much to be thankful for. And I want to encourage you, young ladies, to celebrate the women in your life, whatever role they play, particularly if they chose to show up.
Awesome. Well, we thank you so much for being here with us this evening. I'm sorry, Deanne, did you have something else to say? I didn't mean to step on you.
I was going to say, yes, you know, Emily and I have both, our mothers have gone on to glory, but we are, we're just grateful that we have women in our lives that we can look up to who can kind of fill the void. And this is a good Mother's Day. It's very reflective, I believe, because even though we lost our mothers before the pandemic, I think the pandemic has kind of just made us realize just how much more life is important and valuable. As a matter of fact, my kids, the school they attend, a 3-year-old, they just eulogized her mother today. And you know, especially when you hear about the young ones who lose their mother very early. My mother lost her mother when she was 4. It's very hard. But, you know, one of the things that, you know, prayerfully the grandmothers, the aunts, you know, the mothers of the schools, I'm over Mission Moms, I'm over Moms in Prayer. Hopefully we will embrace that family. And even though she's been virtual all year, we'll try to get in there and embrace her some kind of way. But hopefully she'll have someone there. You know, so when you're younger, it's a little bit easier.
Difficult. Yeah.
Walk from it. But, you know, this is a very special Mother's Day. Mm-hmm. And I know you're very grateful to have your mother there.
I'm blessed to have both parents.
Yes.
And my dad's still living, my mom's still living, and I just believe that God has left them here on an assignment because I'm having the opportunity to live out that commandment to honor them, and
yes.
I do. Both of them I do. I will never have regrets. I have, you know, given everything that I have that I in my within my bandwidth and my capacity. And tomorrow's just one of the ways. I gave them a 65th wedding anniversary brunch here at my house, and it was a good day, and we celebrated my mother's birthday, and I'm going to do the same thing for my father for Father's Day. Life is a gift, and none of us know when. We do know it's going to take place. We don't know how, we don't know when, but it is. And
yes.
So if I could leave anything with you all, just continue in the memory and the legacy of your mothers to utilize what you gleaned and what you hold close, and then share that with others. And God will send you people to do just that. Your audience is what you're doing right now,
yes.
benefiting from it. But I want you to be intimately engaged in that. And even if you get involved with just education, there's so many kids that need people that are role models, particularly children of color.
Yes.
We need them. If we can
see it every day.
You know, we can maybe keep somebody from shooting somebody or be shot themselves. And so I'm just very concerned about this generation. And so I don't know what my time limit is, but I know I'm looking at you all. Y'all have more time than I have. So I want to drop that seed on you all to pay it forward, even if you just go volunteer at somebody's school. I know you teach, Emily.
Yes.
But giving it back is the way to keep your mothers alive in your hearts and in the hearts of others.
Yes. Thank you so much, Dr. Cagsby. We love you. We look forward to getting together with you soon.
I hope so. I'll give y'all some mother hugs.
Thank you.
All right. And give y'all some breakfast. Y'all can come over here and have breakfast with me.
Oh, all right.
We'll take you up on that.
Please don't forget, I really mean it, okay?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. God bless you all.
God bless you, too. Love you.
Love you, too. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You're broken down and tired of living life on the merry-go-round, and you can't find a fighter. But I see it in you, so we gon' walk it out. Move mountains. We gon' walk it out and move mountains. And I'll rise up, I'll rise like the day. Silence is a quiet, and it feels like it's getting hard to breathe. And I know you feel like dying, but I promise we'll take the world to its feet. Move mountains, bring it to its feet. Move mountains. And I'll rise up, I'll rise like the day. I'll rise up, I'll rise unafraid. I'll rise up, and I'll do it 1,000 times again. that we have each other. In spite of the age, I will rise a thousand times again, and we'll rise up.
Hello and happy Mother's Day. I'm Dr. Nicoya, and I just want to take a brief moment to acknowledge moms. The truth is, as mothers, our job is sometimes thankless. We do all the things. We're doctors, we're nurses, we're cooks, we're chefs, we kiss boo-boos, we are comforters, we are moms, we are friends, we are doing all the things. And sometimes we don't get reminded enough about how awesome we are. So here I am today in front of you, reminding you that you are amazing. Yeah, sure, you may not always get it right, or there may be days where you're like, I got it totally figured out, and that's all a part of the process, but you have a beautiful role, and God called you to do this role, and you are exactly who you need to be and where you need to be to see this entire thing through. So I just wanted to take a brief moment to encourage you, to acknowledge you, and to thank you for the role that you play as a mother. Again, happy Mother's Day.
That was Andra Day with Rise Up. And you're listening to the Best of Inspirational Music and Conversation Radio's special Mother's Day broadcast of Brand New Day with Emily Blue. Mothers truly are jewels of all trades and masters of everything that they put their hands to do. Here's Superwoman by Alicia Keys right here on the Best of Inspirational Music and Conversation Radio, Brand New Day with Emily Blue.
This is L. Shawnee DeBose Young, and you're listening to A Brand New Day with Emily Blue.
You're listening to the best of inspirational music and conversation radio, Brand New Day with Emily Blue, right here on We Talk Radio. Now, mothers, they are just the absolute best, and we have another amazing mom joining us today. Her name is Ruby Janine Batiste. She is an author, best-selling author, of just an amazing book for parents. It's called Chief Encouragement Officer. She's a co-author of other books as well, but this is her solo published book. And she has an amazing self-care products, Custom Blends by Nine. Please welcome Miss Ruby Janine Batiste. Welcome to the Brand New Day family.
Thank you, Emily and Deanne. Thank you, Brand New Day family, for having me. And happy Mother's Day to all of you.
Awesome. Awesome. So listen, let's go ahead and just dive right in. And my first question is, what is the role of a mother? And it could be in your opinion.
Yeah, well, you know, a mother is multifaceted. She's an individual who is soil, fertile soil, because you have given birth, whether you're giving birth to ideas or you're nurturing people along the way that may not be your biological children. That is the role of a mother. A mother is a creator. She's someone who is, like I said, soil, so she gave life. She's a life giver, whether that's to an idea, whether it's a business. You know, some people call their businesses their babies, their children. That's motherhood. A mother is loving, love. And, you know, some mothers are, they have gone through a lot in life, and so their love looks differently when compared to the next one. Every mother is unique, and so basically to me, a mother definitely, if I could think of one word, is love. And love is patient, love is kind, it keeps no record of wrongs. I mean, how many times can we recall, even though, you know, Emily and Deanne, your mothers aren't with you, but how many times we did something that just probably broke their heart, but they were there, they forgave you, they nurtured you to be the best you and to be these productive citizens that you all are, who pour into other people, giving them motherly love. Because, you know, you may, I don't know if you're biological mothers or not, but you were definitely mothers in the spirit. So to me, that's what a mother is.
So in one word, describe your mother.
Phenomenal woman. Oh, phenomenal. One word, phenomenal.
Kind of hard to take off some of those words. Yes, so what is one of the things that you remember seeing your mother doing that stood out to you during your childhood, adolescence, teenager, so now, that stood out?
Always so pleasant. So the one thing, it's more than one, but just the act of always being pleasant, always wanting more for us than she wanted for herself. She was always sacrificing and building us up. So that pleasant spirit and demeanor, which we know comes from God. I mean, if I had to say just consistently, she was just pleasant. She was a joy to be around.
Now, your mom. Okay. What have you tried to implement in your parenting because of your mother?
Exactly. So I'm a mom of a boy. He's 12 on the way to being 13. He is strong-willed and smart and independent. He's the only child. So, you know, we all in our household, from my husband, myself, and my son, we all have some strong personalities. So from seeing what my mother did with us, and I have a younger brother who passed in 2012, and my sister, who's younger than I am, One thing was she didn't tear us down. She's a people builder. And so no matter how strong-willed my son is, I don't use negative talk towards him. I try other ways to correct the behavior than saying, oh, you're always just getting in trouble, or you're always just not listening. You know, you're not going to be successful. I speak life into him because I've seen from being an educator for so many years, just so many children who you could tell nobody spoke hope and life into them. So from being the descendant of my mother and my grandmother and all those women in her family, just building people to be confident in this world that's all automatically challenging.
And one more question from me. What was the hardest thing you saw your mother accomplish, and how does that inspire you?
That's a little hard. So as a child or as an adult, which way would you like me to answer that one? Either way.
Any time in your life.
Yeah. When we buried my brother. My brother passed in 2012. He was 31, maybe 30. I can't recall quite. But he was a father, husband, phenomenal little brother. And he passed suddenly. Didn't wake up one morning, had a heart attack. He woke up enough to try to push the heat off of him because Dad had a heart attack. And he explained to me and my sister-in-law and my mom what John was doing when she saw him like that. And when I tell you, I was 9 years older than my brother, and I just was a mess because, you know, I remember seeing my mother pregnant with him and, you know, them coming home from the hospital and just all the hopes and dreams. And he also gave the family the first grandchildren, so all that. And when I tell you that my mother handled that with grace the whole time, that gave me a new found respect and admiration for how elegantly she still handled. I mean, that was her baby, you know, her youngest, her only son. And, you know, mothers and their sons, they love differently. I don't know if you've ever heard anyone say that before, but it's a little differently. So that is one more, you know, just admiration that I have towards my mother.
Okay. So here's my question, because we want to let our readers know a little bit about your book. So tell us about Chief Encouragement Officer.
Okay, well, here's the book. And Chief Encouragement Officer is, it started basically with journaling. From the moment I found out I was pregnant, I didn't get married until I was 34 and got pregnant at 35 and had Joshua at 36. So all this is considered geriatric, you know, pregnancy. And so all the hopes and dreams that I had always wished for. So my son was my first pregnancy, my first child. And like I said, I found out very early that he was strong-willed. And I was like, so, and in one part of the book, I talk about from the time that I was 18 to the time that I was 36, I was used to my schedule running how I wanted it to run. It was very, you know, I'm an achievement-oriented person. So I had my checklist every day that I was, after I got up and prayed, I wrote down what I was going to accomplish that day. And at the end of the day, I felt good when I could look back over that checklist and be like, yeah, I did that, you know, and, you know, through God, I did that. But when Joshua came, and it didn't matter in some cases how prepared I thought I was, that checklist was not happening, and I found myself just spiraling kind of out of control. And so in the Chief Encouragement Officer, basically I didn't want my energy to, you know, go for my son to get that, and so the negative energy that I was conveying. And so what, through some intentional prayers, and I can just kind of show you what they look like real quick, I said, you know, I have to be very intentional to God. You know,
yes.
And what I want to be for my son, because my son is not mine. That's one thing I learned from my mother. My son is not mine. My son is God's. And I'm just here to help him along the journey to fulfill the purpose that God has in his life. So what I don't want to be is a barrier to your destiny. Okay? I'm a coach, per se. So the 12 lessons come across as core values. And so the first core value is encouragement. How can we as mothers, women, aunts, teachers, whatever our role is, how can we be an encourager? Core value number 2 is intentionality. Core value number 3 is teaching your kids about goals and goal setting. Core value number 4, success, finding success in daily routines. Core value number 5, thriving. Surviving isn't enough. Core value number 6 is about competency, grades versus confidence. Core value number 7, persistence, when the cheering stops. Core value number 7, persistence, when the cheering stops. Core value number 8, spirituality, having spiritual disciplines. Core value number 9, service, helping others. Core value number 10, obedience, respect, and trust. Core value number 11, fearless, embracing the unknown. And core value number 12, self-care. It's okay to love yourself. So core value number 1 and 12 are all about the mom, because again, I said we're fertile soil. And so if you are not naturally encouraged through Jesus Christ and your daily activities, there's no way you can pass that on to anyone else. And then core value number 12, going back to that self-care, it's okay to love yourself. Just like we're doing right now, we're taking a few moments of self-care just to listen and learn. So that's how it's broken down. And then each chapter, I give the mother some tips just from my perspective. And also, this is a short read, quick read, because moms and women who are productive, we, you know, it's hard for us to sit down and read a 200-chapter book or some 200-page book. It was like we have a lot going on. And then after that, you have your reflection time where you reflect on what I wrote and how you can encompass that in your life. Then what target area of transformation are you going to focus in on to get where you're trying to be for your child? And then how will you get there? Your measures of success. And then, of course, I'm an educator, like I said earlier. And then you have a summative evaluation. Did you get there? And if not, what can you change to get there? And then in the end, because we can do all things through Christ. And so one thing is, sometimes it's not enough to just say the Lord's Prayer every day. You need to get down and say, Lord, this little boy is cursing people out. This little boy is hitting people. I need this behavior to stop so he can be who you want him to be. How to teach him to be who you need him to be for your purpose and your glory here on earth. I mean, spell it out. And I've shared that strategy with several people along the way, and they tell me so much. Thank you so much for just helping me with that, because I feel better that I'm giving it all to God.
Absolutely. You actually made me think about something that I typically do, but for some reason during the pandemic, the last couple of months or so, I got a little off, and that's journaling and making sure. I'm very specific in my journey. I have seen prayers answered about my children through that. And it's like, and they've been very consistent, because my prayers have been very consistent and very specific. And so this year has been like crazy, because we started out for about 85% of the year virtually. Because April 12th, my kids went back to school. And so now we're kind of getting back into things, but now I'm like, okay, after we just got thrown into a tornado, like, I know they're understanding, they're still making A's, they're doing well, but what did we just go through? You know? So, Lord, I need to get back to putting pen to paper, because, you know, the praying every day is great, because you're supposed to have a relationship, reading your word and everything, but that journaling adds an extra piece, so thanks. Mm-hmm. I need to get that book, especially for some of my mom friends who are trying to figure this thing out.
Yes.
We're trying to figure it out.
And last week, I had a great opportunity to share this with a therapeutic counseling group.
Mm-hmm.
One of the wonderful things about it is, you know, it is a good book for your mom groups or any type of group that you want to go through, because sometimes we stay silent about our struggles, and even that struggle is through parenting. It doesn't make you look inadequate if you're, because your child is their own unique individual. And so, but what you can control is your consistency in your approach of how you deal with the behaviors that they're displaying and the redirection. And I have a lot of reviews on the book on my website and a couple on Amazon. And they have just warmed my heart. And that's exactly what I was trying to convey. And I never even talked to these people. And they're like, they got it. And so I love
it. That's good. Well, we know that your mother gave an incredible example, whether it was through the things that she said or the things that you observed. So in the long term, how do you want to honor your mother?
My mother is 80 this year. Yes, 80. And so on the way to be 81. God willing. But my everyday journey, I hope that it's a reflection of her teachings and the teachings of my grandparents. I'm named after my maternal grandmother, Ruby. And so to me, just carrying that name, because my maternal grandmother, I mean, everybody thought she was just phenomenal, just like I think my mother's phenomenal. And mm-hmm. when I was younger, I hadn't grown into Ruby yet. I was Janine. Because Janine, you know, if everyone could see from my early years, Janine was something to deal with. So so Ruby is, you know, she's much more godly and godlike. So, but it took me a while to grow into that. When people would call me Ruby, I'm like, I'm not Ruby. Because Ruby was the bomb. You know, my grandmother Ruby, she was the bomb. She was that woman of God that I wanted to be. She was that woman of God that my mother was. And when you think about that Proverbs 31 woman, that's who both of them were. So to me, when I'm gone, or even when my mother, when she looks back, I want her to be able to say, and she's told me this so many times recently, you're her. This is who I always want you to be. And so I appreciate that. And so, and that's what I want my son to see, you know, through all the ups and downs. And if I'm fortunate enough to see my grandchildren, I want them to be like, Grandma Ruby Janine is a woman of God. And she loves everybody that way. So that's what I'm aiming for.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us on this special Mother's Day broadcast of Brand New Day. We appreciate you taking out the time, and we hope that on this Mother's Day that you get everything that you've been dreaming for and hoping for. And just to let you know, I have one thing in common with you. I'm named after my paternal grandmother. My paternal mm-hmm. grandmother was named Emily.
Beautiful. And that's legacy. You know, people would say, oh, that's an old name. And I'm like, yes, but I didn't understand it. I love it. So that's a beautiful name. So again, that has some, I'm sure that has some history to it too. But okay.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, make sure you go to her website at www.customblend9by9 spelled out, not the number, but NINE.com. Custom Blends.
The website, I kept the website simple, Custom Blends by the number 9.com.
Oh, okay. So it is 9.
Uh-huh. The number 9.com. Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to go to Custom Blends
by
9.com, the number 9. And mm-hmm. you can get her books that she co-authored, and you can get her amazing self-care practice. Yeah. Thank you again so much.
Thank you, ladies. Y'all have a good one.